Ramsey TV.
I think I know why that one viewer thought I was a hater. Thought I hated Israel. First, notice this, that I did not delete the comment. It's still there. What is really happening with Israel today? That's the title of the video. I think it was last week. The comment is still there. So I don't delete comments that say terrible things about me. But I think I know why that person might have said that. It's because I claimed that the Israel that is now living in the Middle East, that Americans practically worship them, they're not. Most of them are probably not the true Israel. They're probably not the remnant that Paul is speaking of that I told you about yesterday in Romans chapter 11. The ones who are faithfully true to the promises God made to Abraham. Because those promises can only be fulfilled through Jesus Christ. He's their Messiah. But if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Messiah, then you're not part of the remnant. You're not part of that small group that is faithful. So that's all I was saying. I'm really just restating what Paul states in Romans chapter 11, that callousness in part on Israel's come. Paul says in part in Romans chapter 11 because it allows for the remnant. But I did say that there was another Israel, literal Israel people living in other parts of the world besides the Middle East. There's something so difficult about that Middle East area. I think there's such an historic bedrock there that I think seeps up and just attaches itself to the person, you know, starting with their feet up to their heads. It just, that land does something to them. It almost makes them want to be like their ancestors. But that's not necessarily a good thing because the history of their ancestors is not stellar. It's not stellar. But the Israelites who have left the land even centuries ago have lost that association, which is good because I think that association has to do with holding traditions, thinking of yourself as a traditional Jew. But there are, again, Jewish people or Israelites living outside the land who still have that chip to hear God's word to them, but they need adjusted, and that will happen during the tribulation. I have not introduced myself. This is Martin Zender. Welcome to the show. It's the highlight of my day to be able to speak with you. So Jesus's parables are many concerning Israel. And there is a verse in Matthew chapter 8 that I'm going to drive to. I don't know if I'm going to get there today, but I'm just going to drive to it. I thought I was going to do a couple days on this. It might take more. It's not going to be like 2 weeks or anything. It might be an extra day. But there's a verse I'm driving to in Matthew chapter 8. Read Matthew chapter 8 ahead of time. See if you can find it. Having to do with God pulling the big switcheroo of God putting a people in the literal land now that don't really belong there. But then when the time is ripe, he's going to do a shocking thing and replace them. There's your replacement theology. If you want replacement theology, forget about the nations replacing Israel and hijacking their natural blessings. No, replacement theology is that the Israelites in the Holy Land now are going to be replaced with actual Israelites. When I say actual Israelites, all these people I'm talking about are probably they're natural born Israelites. They're genetically related to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For the sake of the argument, these are the people I'm talking about, genetically related, but they are true Israelites. But now when I'm speaking of true Israelites, I'm not talking about genetics. I'm talking about the spiritual disposition. So a true Israel and a false Israel is not to say that one group can actually trace their ancestry to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the other group can't. It's that the true are spiritually astute. They're part of the remnant. They're part of those that God has called to stay true to the promises God made to Abraham and to recognize that Jesus Christ is indeed their Messiah. So that's all I want to read from Romans chapter 11 right now. But I do want to reference the remnant. This is important. God has always left himself a people. In other words, let me put it this way. God has never started from scratch. Even at the flood of Noah, he transferred 8 people from the old world to the new world. 8 people. I mean, that's not a lot, but it's not starting from scratch either. And when he brought Israel into the promised land, he left everybody from the generation that came out of Egypt dead, except for 2 people, Joshua and Caleb. That's a remnant. It's the tiniest of remnants, but it's a remnant nonetheless. Because God never leaves himself without a witness, without a testimony. And Paul said that in the current era, there's a remnant of faithful Israelites somewhere. It doesn't mean they're in the land. In fact, it probably means they're not. It's probably true that they're not in the land. Again, it's because they're not absorbing the historical sand from the actual Israel area. It's a good thing to get out of there. And I warned people there's going to be some violence coming. But in fact, before the violence comes, there's going to be a time of peace in Israel. The Antichrist will make peace. I believe still today, and I'm getting more confirmation every day, that Donald Trump is the perfect candidate. He loves Israel. Israel loves him. And there has to come a time when Israel builds a false temple. Again, this doesn't have to be an ornate temple. It can be a very simple structure. It can be a pole barn. It doesn't matter, as long as they're doing the sacrifices. But in order to do this, Israel's going to have to be protected. Going to have to be protected militarily and politically. The two kind of go hand in hand. And Donald Trump will do this. Because there will come a time when all the nations will want to literally kill these people. This was known as the Battle of Armageddon. It's a battle that's never fought. It's staged, but not fought. All the nations come against Israel. Not sure of the reason why. There could be several reasons why the world would be mad at Israelites. Or should I say Jews? There might be. I'm not saying they're legitimate reasons, but there are reasons. But that's not the issue here now. The issue is that they will be protected. In the Middle East, they will be protected. They will be free to worship. There will be a covenant. There will be a treaty. And I'm of the disposition that it could be the treaty has already been signed, or the Abrahamic Accords was the beginning of the treaty. And there could have been things in those accords that we don't know about, some fine print that is maybe a promissory note for future protection. But that has to happen. But then, of course, that goes for 3.5 years. And then in the middle of the last 7-year period, nobody's going to make an announcement to say, this is the first 3.5 years of the 7-year period. No, it's going to start probably without anybody really recognizing it. There's recognizing it. This is the last 7 years. It's called the tribulation. There's not going to be a formal announcement. There's not going to be trumpets from heaven. But I think the first thing that happens that will let you know that the 7 years, the last 7 years of Daniel's 490-year prophecy concerning Israel started. That is the signing of a covenant to protect Israel. And I'm telling you, every piece is coming into place for them needing that protection. I know right now they're the aggressors. It's not a popular opinion. And I'm not saying that. I don't want to get into this really. I'm not saying that all of it is uncalled for. I mean, there's part of it, vengeance for what happened back in October. And there's another part of it that may be above and beyond that. But one could see that Israel perhaps being the aggressors now, but it won't always be that way because the whole world's going to turn on them, but they're going to be protected until the middle of that last 7 years. And you won't need a trumpet to tell you when the middle of that last 7 years will begin, because the covenant will be broken by the same man who brokered it. He will break the covenant and he will declare that he's the one now that they are to worship. And of course, This comes, I believe, after the death blow to the man of lawlessness, which, quote, kills him, yes. But he miraculously recovers. When he recovers, it's no longer him. It's the same body, same facial features, same everything. But now being inhabited by an evil spirit called the Beast. So, God never leaves himself without witnesses. Now, the Concordant Publishing Concern, I learned a lot from, and A. Enoch in particular, I learned a lot from them, like I said, but they're, I think they're really making a big mistake with this. Because A. Enoch, the translator of the Concordant Version, believed that the remnant died in Paul's era. But in order for that to be true, you have to somehow prove that this is not the current era. That the current era ended. And I have lots of evidence that says the current era did not end, that we're still living in the same era Paul referenced in Romans 11 as the current era. So there is still a remnant. But Nock and the rest of the Concordant folks, including Dean Huff, he believes this way. I would have arguments with Dean about this. I drove to Michigan from Ohio. I drove to Elmont, Michigan, went into Dean's office. He granted me an audience. Sounds like he's the Pope. No, but Dean was a very gracious man. And he knew I was serious about this, and I was becoming known in these circles. And so he said, well, come up and let's talk about this. And so I talked to him about my belief that there was still a remnant in the current era. Dean didn't believe there was. I could do two or three shows just explaining to you what happened in that meeting in Elmont, Michigan, at Dean's office. But the end result of it was that Dean agreed with A. Enoch that the remnant died, and there is no longer a remnant. Even though Paul is using the remnant as proof that God has not thrust away his people. So if there's no remnant, then the claim could be legitimately made that God has thrust away his people. But the remnant, again, is Paul's proof. No, he hasn't. Prove it. There's a remnant. Dean and A. Enoch claimed that the remnant was Israelites who jumped ship to the uncircumcision gospel, jumped ship to Paul's gospel, including Paul himself. How would that prove that God had not thrust away his people? That would be proof against it. Well, I have proof that God's still faithful to his covenant people. Okay, what's your proof? Well, there's a small group of them, yes, who have forsaken the Abrahamic promises completely and jumped ship and joined another gospel that has nothing to do with the Abrahamic promises. Head scratch, huh? That proves that there's still a faithful remnant according to the scriptures? It doesn't make sense. No, it doesn't make any sense. It's wrong. It's wrong. If it were true, then listen to this. If that were true, that there's no faithful Israelites today. See, the concordant belief is anyone who names the name of Jesus Christ is automatically in the body of Christ, whether they think they're Israelites or not. Whether they really understand Paul, doesn't matter. Whether they're in love with James, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, doesn't matter. They're just ignorant Paul people. They're in the body of Christ. But what if they don't believe anything having to do with the body of Christ? It doesn't matter. Do they have a metal fish applique on their car? Yeah, okay, they're in the body of Christ. But they love Israel, and they don't even understand Paul. They think Paul should be stricken from the scriptures, but they name Jesus Christ as their Savior? Well, yeah, they're completed Jews. All right, well, they're in the body of Christ. But no, you know what that would mean? That would mean that at the snatching away, if all these people who are either completed Jews or they're members of the nations, wannabe Jews, i.e. proselytes of Israel, and they love all the Jew things. That sounds bad. You're one of those people who love all the Jew things, yeah? Okay, well, I got news for you. No, if all those people were in the body of Christ, then at the snatching away, they would all go. And 1 second after the snatching away, there would be not one faithful Israelite on the face of the earth. Because anyone naming the name of Christ, a faithful Israelite, is one who believes Jesus Christ as their Savior. So are we to believe that after the body of Christ is snatched away and the body of Christ includes like millions and millions of people, according to this, which is absurd to me, it's absurd, period, that the result of that would be, again, there would be not one faithful Israelite left on the face of the earth. And I'm just telling you here about how God never leaves himself without a remnant. And God would be starting from scratch. So my question would be, okay, the body of Christ is gone. He's going to take up with Israel again. Where's the 144,000? Anybody who had a hankering to be one of the 144,000 that believed in Jesus as their Messiah, forget it. They were ignorant. Paul, people, they were still in the body of Christ. They're gone. No, God will hit the ground running because I believe the 144,000 are being formed. God knows who they are. They're alive right now. The vast throng that accompanies the 144,000, they're alive now. And the tribulation will awaken them. And God will bring the new covenant after the tribulation. I really want to talk about that too this week. So just as there were 7,000 who did not bow the knee to Baal in Elijah's day, there's a remnant today. And God is even now, if I can use this word, grooming Israelites to take the kingdom. This is the remnant. Now, of necessity, the remnant will have to go through the tribulation. The people are not in the body of Christ. They're going to go through the tribulation. They're not going to be snatched away. They're not in the body of Christ. But let's say they're bent toward Israel's things. They want to be Israelites. Since the remnant will go through the tribulation, we all know that. The 144,000 are sealed to go through the day of indignation. They're not going anywhere. They're not being snatched away. So if these people are going through the tribulation, even the 144,000 are going through it. True, they won't be harmed by it, but they're going through it. Then how can the riffraff of Israel endure it? The riffraff, those who are not faithful to the promises. You've heard me talk about the lost 10 tribes of Israel, those who were taken into the Assyrian captivity. This was long before the house of Judah was taken to Babylon. The house of Judah, headquartered in Jerusalem, was taken to Babylon. They came back after 70 years. The house of Israel had been taken into Assyria, and they never returned to the land. They were scattered. Scripture is very clear on this. In fact, Amos 9:9 confirms that the house of Israel was shaken, quote, among all the nations. And so, birds of a feather do flock together. And most of the lost tribes, I believe, occupy Europe and the Americas, wherever Bibles are sold and misinterpreted. These are not of the remnant. These are the hardened. These are to be found in the churches of Europe and the Americas. These are your run-of-the-mill nominal Christians. We know them. They walk among us. It is they who will be tried the hardest during the day of indignation. They're not members of the body of Christ, like I said, but neither are they the remnant of Israel sealed by God. They occupy this no man's land. And the troubling times of the tribulation are going to force them into tough decisions. Will they join the wild beast? That's an option. Or will they be shaken from their stupor? The people who are now going to church, going through the religious rigmarole, believing all the doctrines of demons, embracing tradition rather than truth, will these people finally be shaken via the tribulation from their spiritual stupor to finally see and follow the true Christ? Yes, some will. Some are going to passionately renounce God and Christ because in the end, the love of many will wax cold. Why will they do this? Because they never followed the true God and the true Christ. They just went to church. They were believers in name only. They were in it because Christianity was the biggest popularity club. And they can do righteousness in front of other people and feel good about themselves, feel smug about themselves because they believe that they're the authors of their own salvation and the rest of the world's going to hell because they're not as wise as they were. Like I said, they never followed the true God, the true Christ. And so they'll continue in this course of not following the true God and the true Christ, except this time they're going to be honest about it. This time they're going to openly come to hate the true God and the true Christ. See, they always have hated the true God and the true Christ. Talking about nominal Christians, because they don't worship the true God and the true Christ. There's another Jesus. Remember, Paul says there's another Jesus. A false Jesus. This is the one that's presented to the churches in America and in Europe. The handsome, hunky man who they're romantically attached to. The nuns, the Catholic nuns, marry this hunk of Jesus. But this Jesus of theirs is an eternal tormentor. He's somebody who holds people's sins against them. He's as evil as his father is, and he damns many to hell for eternity. So this is not the true God and the true Christ, and they never have worshipped them, but they've had a false front. But that false front, when the tribulation starts, and they find out that somehow they missed the snatching away, they are going to become so pissed, and now it's going to show on the surface. Now they're going to actively hate God and Christ. Will we still come to these people to help them? Yes, I think we will. But if some of them survive the tribulation via our help and they pass through that veil between eon 3 and 4 and they find themselves in the kingdom, people in the kingdom will live a long time. It'll be a healthier place to live. It'll be a healthier earth, a happier earth. But yet people still die in that 1,000 years. And they will die probably. They will live happy, glorious, wonderful lives. If they live through it, that is, but they will still rise at the great white throne and be judged, right? Because they weren't ever believers. They'll appear at the great white throne. Most of them, probably good people. Like I say, a lot of these people, we know their names will be written in the book of life and they'll pass on to the new earth, albeit as mortals, who, in order to sustain their lives, will eat the leaves from the tree of life, Revelation 22:2. They're judged in accord with their acts, not their faith. They never had faith, but their acts were not bad. However, I believe that many do have a heart for God, even though they've been completely deceived and chasing the wrong God and the wrong Christ. The first shock of realization that they missed the snatching away, but the new covenant is going to come. But they have to endure this tribulation. They are going to rise to the occasion. This is the new covenant that they've dreamed about. And the new covenant, they're going to have spiritual understanding now. It's going to be, like I said, I've said this before, it's going to be like the upper room experience. Tongues of fire might even literally come over their heads as a visible indication, because they love the visible, they need the visible, they want signs, they want wonders as a visible indication that God is now pouring his spirit on them. But they're going to have to endure. They're going to have to endure to the end to be saved. And God is going to use the day of indignation to awaken them, to knock them up with sense. And again, like I said, he's going to flood them with his spirit. So these are the two groups. None of them are following the true God in Christ now. They're both religious, these two groups. When the tribulation starts and the realization comes that they missed their rapture, some who are never interested in God and Christ anyway, they just liked the Jesus bling, they're going to be so pissed, they're going to renounce him to his face. It's going to be a rough go for those people. But I think that's the minority. I think the majority of these people really do have some kind of heart and soul for God, and they're going to be awakened via trial. And they're going to come to a realization of their call, and they are going to become then the people who are the living representatives, the living population of the new covenant.